we've become family now, wouldn't you say? Yeah, I feel at home when I'm here with you, and I do feel you're welcome even if we never get to speak. So thank you ever so much. Allow me to pray. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day and the beautiful gift of life that you've given us this day. Father, we take nothing for granted as we surrender our minds, our hearts, our bodies, and our souls as a living sacrifice before you this morning. Have your way in us, and we ask you to lead this service, to start with us and to finish with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And so our first hymn is hymn number 181. You excuse us with the hymns because we don't know, I don't know much of the hymns. However, I picked them to suit the theme that I'll be sharing for that day. So I'm sure we'll work together. For those of you that know these hymns, you work with us along with our musicians here. Thank you so much. So the first hymn is hymn number 181, God Forgave My Sin. Thank you for that. And our first reading this morning, to those of you that like to have a title of the preaching, the last time I was here, we spoke on about a heart. And if anybody remembers what heart did we talk about? If anybody remembers the last time I was here, I spoke about a heart, a specific heart. A repentant heart we spoke about. And today we are also speaking about another heart, a forgiving heart. So today we speak about a forgiving heart. And none other than in the Bible, other than Jesus Christ himself, is worthy to be spoken of on forgiveness than a young man called Joseph. So we go to the book of Genesis, where we find a man called Joseph. And our first reading is from Genesis chapter number 37. And we'll read from 1 to 11, if you bear with me. Genesis 37 and verses number 1 to 11. And I'm reading from the NIV, the New International Version. There we go. So Joseph's dreams is the heading of this one. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his older brothers, of his older sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this. I dreamt I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. 9. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." 10. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. And that is the end of our first reading. Our second hymn is hymn number 389. "Jesus, you are changing me." 389.
As we let Jesus reign supreme in our hearts, he is changing us. You may take our seats. Our second reading is coming from, again, the same book of Genesis, and we are continuing with the story of Joseph. And we're reading from Genesis 45 this time. A silver cup in a sack. Now Joseph gave these instructions. Joseph makes it himself known is the title. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there had been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have.'" 11 and our last one. "I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute." And that is the end of our reading. Our third hymn this morning is hymn number 593, "Set My Spirit Free." Hymn number 593, "Set My Spirit Free." Set our spirits free to worship the Lord is our should be our sincere prayer this morning. Church, we've heard the story of Joseph, I'm sure, many a times. And as a young girl, I remember, I think I've mentioned before, that my mom was my Sunday school teacher growing up back home in Malawi, Africa. And she taught us these stories. We used to have stories of Joseph, the story of David, the story of Daniel in the dungeon of lions, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I remember so well the story of Moses at the Red Sea and all that. And the story of Joseph always used to stand up to me. I loved it so much. And as I grow up, as I've grown and I've come to know the Lord for myself, I've gone and researched more on the story of Joseph. And surely, if not just his discipline, his spiritual discipline that stands out for me, there's also the aspect of forgiveness that stands out for me. And that is why this morning we're sharing on the heart, a heart of forgiveness one with another. And it is challenging to forgive. How many of us can attest to that? I can. And the beginning of this year, 2024, started on a very hard note for me. And if I look back, I would say not just the beginning of this year, but since I've come back from Africa, from the mission trip, it almost felt like the enemy, I found the enemy at Heathrow Airport when I was coming back from the mission field. Yeah, I had so much fun on the mission field. We saw signs, miracles, and wonders. The Lord was with us. He provided. He was there. Everything was so good. But I came here and there was this wave that took over. And every small thing offended me so badly. I was harboring offense. And the more I harbored offense, and the more this offense was affecting even my health. Church, I stand here to tell you that when we are offended, when we harbor unforgiveness, it can affect our physical health. Trust me. This offense, this unforgiveness that I was harboring towards my brethren around me, in the workplace, within the family, the children, and it was beginning to affect me so badly. Then I started having this migraine headache, non-stop, 24/7, and I could not function well in the office. When I sit at the laptop, I can't see well. I went to spec servers, I got the glasses, but still something was not well. But it had nothing to do with glasses. It had everything to do with my mind and my heart. The state of my heart was affecting my health. The state of my mind, the thoughts that were lingering in my head, I kept taking so much offense with the smallest things. And church, I stand here to say, like Joseph, if there's anybody that would have been entitled to be offended, it's Joseph. Would we agree? Joseph should have been offended with everything that his brothers did to him. But here is the man, Joseph. We've just read from chapter number 45. He's saying to them, look, it wasn't your doing. It was the Lord's doing that I had to come in front of you. But yes, the journey was painful. Yes, the whole procedure of me getting to Egypt before you was not the way I would have loved. Or trust me, knowing I was going to be the head of the whole of Egypt, then he could have well taken the first class, wouldn't he? He would have flown first class into Egypt. It would have been so perfect for Joseph to get into Egypt on a first class plane. And to get there and to deliver the Lord's people and his family all the way from Canaan, them to come back and know that there's something, we have some solace in Egypt. Why? Because our brother Joseph is there. But no, no, no. God's ways are not our ways. It's written in Isaiah chapter number 55 and verses 8 to 10. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And boy, oh boy, but it is written also, we have a consolation in Jeremiah 29:11, that he has a perfect plan for both you and I. And that plan is not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. So this morning, as you sit there, the Lord has a plan for you. So whatever offense that you may be harboring, if I am to carry on with my own personal journey of forgiveness, I seriously ended up going to the doctors because I was so offended. I was so angry. I was so harboring so much unforgiveness. How can she say that to me? How could he do that to me? And day and night, I would lie on my bed and I would be thinking, I would hear a repetition. And this is why Paul is saying in the New Testament, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Because the thoughts that we harbor in our minds sometimes are very unhealthy. And they will affect us. Because the greatest machine God has created for us, I always like to joke like that with my children, is the brain. The mind. Because it all starts there. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So there we go. So Jesus has been sold. Remember, the initial plan was to kill him and to put the blood of the animal and kill an animal and put the blood of the animal on his robe and send to Dad and say, Dad, your favorite son has been killed by wild animals. That wouldn't have worked, because I'm thinking, why just him and not all of you? How many of you? 11. Why not the 11 of you? Why just Joseph? Anyway, then God in his plan, he changes everything. There's a paradigm shift of the plan, and then he ends up in the ditch. They put him in the ditch. Another paradigm shift to the plan, and then let's get him out. The traders, the slave traders just appear, bang, at the right time. At the right geographical position. They turn up. And there we are. Then they say, no, we can make money out of this. Let's get him out. Let's sell him. So they bring him out and sell him. And off he goes to Egypt. What a grand entrance into Egypt for Joseph. The future prime minister. The future leader of Egypt. God's perfect plan for our lives. And I want to believe today that if Joseph had harbored unforgiveness, I'm sure, because I believe the more we have unforgiveness, God is love, and everything God created is good, he says. So then the first commandment that he's given us is to love. How can I love my brother, my sister, when I'm offended by them? How can I love them when I have unforgiveness on the inside of me towards them? I cannot. And none of us here can stand and say, I'm an angel, I can do it. No, you cannot. But when we seek the Lord to come into our hearts, when we dwell on his word, when we know how beautiful his love is, that he loved us enough to send his one and begotten son, Jesus Christ, John 3:16, to die on the cross for you and I, that we may be saved. Nothing can hold us back from finding it in our hearts and releasing our hearts and saying to the Lord, Father, help me. I was put on pills. I went to the doctor. The doctor said, we need to check this, we need to check that. And they put me on pills. Oh, I was given a repeat prescription. Come on now. I don't pay for my prescriptions. They're not free. I was spending £9 every month going to get those pills. I was mad at myself every time when I'm going to get that. I'm thinking, come on, Lord, where am I going to get the next £9 to be spending on this? Servicing iniquity. Servicing sin. Paying for sin. Unforgiveness is sin. We may sit there and we will say, you're saying even right now, somebody say, but child, you don't know what they did to me. Yes, I do not know. But he knows. And trust me, some of the things that I was carrying in that time when I went to the doctors and I got the prescription and I was getting the pills, I started taking them. I was taking the pills. And I was thinking I'm feeling better because of the pills. Nah. I was not. Until the Lord spoke to me one day in my prayer closet. I was praying, whoa, making so much noise before the Lord. And he said to me, why don't you just shut up? Because you're making noise. And I said, but Lord, you can't say that to me. I am your daughter. I'm charity. I am praying here. I need to pray for so-and-so and pray for so-and-so. No. First things first, before you come and pray, go and forgive. Go and make peace. So know it was not an easy journey, but the Holy Spirit begins to show me who I needed to forgive. And they were all laid out in my heart. And I knew perfectly well that I had to forgive my people. I had to forgive the people in the workplace. I had to forgive my children for some of the things they were doing. And the Lord said, I said to the Lord, I was crying now, weeping as a baby, and I said, Lord, fill me with your compassion and fill me with your unfailing love, unconditional love, to love them when they are hurting me, to forgive when they don't even say sorry and realize they have offended me. And the Lord began to work on my heart. And it's still a process. He's still working in my heart. I'm not there yet, but I'm certainly not where I was at the beginning of this year. Trust me. And I want to share this with somebody here who is sitting there and feeling, but you don't know what they have done. Yes, some may not know what they have done, but God knows what they have done. God knows what they have said. And he's right here with us in this church this morning to deal with each one of us if we surrender to allow him to do it. And so, I remember I was thinking, how can we forgive if we do not have the fruit of the Spirit in us? We need the fruit of the Spirit to be able to forgive. Yes? Galatians 5:22-23. And then as I pondered on the scripture, there's also another scripture that came. And I was still arguing. I've always been very inquisitive. We were chatting this week with my sister right there. And we were talking about various things growing up as children. And by the way, if there's somebody who has enjoyed forgiveness at its max, then it's this lady right here. Look, she's laughing, but I'm not. It's this lady right here. Because I met this woman. Rise up to your feet. Let them see you. And I met her 48 years ago. I met her 48 years ago. And God knew I needed a sister like her to work on my patience and my love and my and everything else that anyone needs in this life. So God gave me her, my only sister, my only sibling. It's just the two of us. So as we were growing up, I met her and she was there and she can be a little bit controlling, and that's okay, I've gotten used to it. But you know, whenever we fell out in that household growing up, she was the only friend I had. So I had no choice but to make peace with her, because I have nobody else to play with when the gates are closed, when the doors are closed for the night. She's the only friend I have. So I would be begging, literally begging her. And she wants nothing to do with me. And I'll be begging her, forgive me, I'm sorry, oh, leave me alone, I'm sorry. It was so easy to do that because I had something behind that I wanted. I needed her friendship. I needed it for the night. But we sit here. Why am I saying this? I'm sharing this because it is easy to forgive certain folk and so difficult to forgive other folk. Am I right? And so, the ones that it's so easy with her, 48 years I'm doing life with her here on earth, when she does whatever she does, I mean, it may get a little bit in, but not so much as when it's somebody else. Does that make sense? So, I'm standing here to say, it may be easier to forgive your spouse because you're still in this journey with them, come rain or sunshine, than it is easier to forgive Charity when she offends you, because you don't care about her. I don't know when I'll meet her again. It may be easier to forgive your child when they offend us as parents than it is easier to forgive the folk in the workplace, people in business that we work with. And it may be easier to forgive your mother, your father, because as parents, we also do wrong sometimes. The Lord has spoken to me several times to go and apologize to my children. when I've done wrong, when I did not say some kind words to them, when my actions spoke anger and hatred, and instead of love and forgiveness and compassion that Christ has given me when he died on the cross for me. So I've gone back and I've said to her, forgive me. I think I offended you that time. My words were not kind. Please forgive me. And we move on. And Romans 12 demonstrates it really well for somebody sitting here and saying, but Charity, you do not know what they did. But Charity, you don't know what they said to me. And this thing was said 53 years ago, and you're still carrying it now. This thing was done 20 years ago, and you're still carrying it with you. You're saying, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. But Romans 12, Paul, as he writes to the book, to the church in Rome, says from verse number 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. But I like the way he's talking about us loving our enemies. He says in verse number 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. I had to go and research the word conceitedness. It is beyond pride. You're full of yourself, beyond selfishness. Do not be conceited, it says in the Bible. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And he says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you. So there's a choice there to be made by me. And I have the freedom to make that choice or not. Because guess what, church? God has given you and I two great things, freedom and choice. We are free to choose to do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it, and however we want to do it. But every choice we make has a consequence. And I wish somebody had sat me down in my early ages when I was young and told me this, that Charity, you're free to choose to do whatever you want to do, because some of the silly choices I made, I wouldn't have made them and paid the awful consequences that I paid. I stand here today to remind us as brethren in church that when we call ourselves Christians, we are saying, I am Christ-like. So then, who is Christ? He is the one that died on the cross for us. He is the forgiving one who forgives us over and over and over again. He says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, hallelujah. The favorite bit comes out. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. 21 and the last scripture in verse number, chapter 12 of Romans. Do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh boy, oh boy. Didn't I go back to the Lord and cry before the Lord? Father, fill me with your compassion. Because when I look in the Bible, when Christ was performing all those miracles, most of the times he was filled with compassion. And he reaches out to the widow of Nain as she's about to go and bury her only son. Her husband's already dead. He was filled with compassion. If I'm filled with compassion, if you're filled with compassion, you cannot harbor offense. There's no room for offense in us. Forgiveness will be easy if we're filled with compassion. When we are filled with the unconditional love, a love that knows no boundary, a love that keeps no record of wrongdoing, when we are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, that tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. I will suffer more and more and more and more. But how can he do that, child? Because his grace is sufficient for me. His grace enables me. In my own capacity as charity, I'll end up at my GP with a repeat prescription. But when his grace kicks in, I don't have room for that. I will love unconditionally because he has loved me and he is loving me unconditionally even now. Church, we ought to look into these things on a serious note. Charity, but they wronged me. You don't know what happened, Charity. I've been in that place where they wronged me. And if I were to take this case to any court, they will say, yes, they were wrong, you were right. But guess what? I always say when I preach about forgiveness, when I share on forgiveness with the family or with my friends or with my colleagues in work, I always say, do you know what? It's not Manchester United and Liverpool playing. I was teaching somebody just last week who said they had such a huge squabble with their boss. And they were saying the boss had told them to go. And I said, I want you to humble yourself. I shared with them the story of Hagar in the Bible with Sarah in the book of Genesis and Abraham. That they had wronged Hagar. And she packs up. She says, Lord, I did not offer myself. They offered. They came and asked me. And I did what my master told me to do. And here they are. Now I'm being ill-treated. I have a little baby and she's walking in the desert where there's no water. But the angel comes and brings water to her. You can read for yourselves in, I think it's Genesis 19. I love the word of God. I love prayer. And the word, and then the Lord appears to her and says, turn around, there's water there. Go and fetch some water. And she fetches water in the desert. In August, we went to Morocco and we experienced the desert. And a desert is not a lovely place. And there in that desert, as we were riding those camels, I did not see a drop of water. But the angel appeared to her. It occurred to me, it was in a place like this where Hagar was with Ishmael. And the Lord appeared to her. And said, turn around, there's water. And she had water to drink. And she calls this place, El Roy, the Lord who sees me. And from there, the angel did not stop there. The angel says, go back and submit to your master. Come on now. But they're the ones ill-treating me. They're the ones doing, they are my reason for being in this desert, as it were. He says, go back and submit to your master. I told this young lady, I said, no, you go back and submit to them. Ask them, where did I go wrong? Apologize. But I didn't do anything wrong, she said to me. I said, I know, and God knows better. But go back and submit to her. And I work in that office. I only work in that office in Newport Park now every Tuesdays and every Fridays. I'm in that office the rest of the week. I'm in Colby or elsewhere in the field. I said to her, it was the Tuesday. I said to her, I'll see you on Friday. If you go and do what I'm asking you to do, I'll see you on Friday. She's not firing you. But her boss had told her this was her last day. So I went. And on Friday when I was coming, she was busy with other people. She was there. I looked at her. She looked at me. I gave her this wink. And I went up into the lift to go to my office. Because she did what I told her to do. And no devil from hell is going to move you where you belong when you practice what the Bible is telling you. This is our life manual, I always say, and I'll keep saying that. And so when we think of, I'm challenged when you think of the people that have wronged you and you're harboring unforgiveness. The Bible says in Luke 17 and verse number 1, woe to him that causes another to sin. Okay? So it's not my position to punish them because they did me wrong. God in his sovereign power has the power to look into it and get it sorted for us. Okay? And then there's the story of, we are going to read this one. Big mouth like myself, Peter, one of the disciples. Peter was such a big mouth. Sometimes when I follow the character of Peter and I'm reading and I'm thinking, Peter, come on, this is Jesus, man, you know, behave yourself. Can you just behave yourself? Some of the things Peter comes to Jesus. And then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Peter. But it was helpful, isn't it? His big mouth was helpful for the rest of them. I'm sure John and Matthew are thinking along those lines, but Luke is also decent, a physician, you know, and he's thinking, I'm not going to, you know, I don't know, but this question keeps lingering in my head, like, how many times should I really forgive? Because this Peter is driving me nuts in this place, you know, but I don't know, because last week he did the same, and I forgave him, and look at Peter in his heart, a decent physician amongst them. But Peter in his big mouth, he rises up and says, Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Up to seven times, he says. Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. I'm sure we all have phones. Today we're going with an assignment, a mathematics assignment. For all those people that have wronged you, I want you to think, how many times has charity offended me? And use your calculator. And see, have I forgiven her 70 times 7? Have I forgiven her 70 times 7? Trust me, even though I've dealt with this woman for 48 years, I've not reached the 70 times 7 yet. I still have a long way to go. To still love and forgive how she offends me. To still love and forgive my children. My firstborn is 32 and my secondborn is 19. I still have a long way to forgive them. The grandkids. The grandkids. My life has gone back again. To these young ones now that I'm raising and the grandkids. And they just want love from grandma, and grandma loves you, but grandma does not like you when you're doing wrong. So it is not an easy journey, this life that we're living here on earth, but the grace of God is sufficient for you and I to grant us what we need on a daily basis. I'm seeing when Jesus is teaching the prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. I don't see that just as food in the sense of just physical food. I'm thinking of spiritual food. I'm thinking of mind food. I'm thinking of food that will replenish my mindset, my heart, the state of my heart. It will pick out food that will take out what is not right on the inside of me and give me freshness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, humility. I'm thinking of that. I'm not thinking of bread, physical bread. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And they will trespass against us. Why? Because we also trespass against others, knowingly and unknowingly. Church. So Peter demonstrates this, and Jesus answers it 77 times that we ought to forgive others. So as far as you sit working where you have 77 times to forgive every single person that you know in your life. How's that? What an assignment. But Jesus answered with a parable that really touched my heart. Jesus answers and says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his seven servants. I'll just share this story as a story, and you can read it for yourselves in Matthew 18 and from verse number 21. And so he shares this parable. He says, the king wanted to settle his debts with his seven workers. So he called them. This one was owing him loads. And it brings him there. My money, I don't have it. But give me time, I'll bring it. Says, no. So I'm going to get you, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, and everything that's yours. You'll be sold into slavery. That's the king. So he starts weeping before the king, crying, no, forgive me, please forgive me. And the king says, okay, I forgive you. I'm writing off the whole debt. The whole debt is written off, literally. How merciful is that? So he's going, he's really happy he's going. As he steps out of the building, he meets a man that owes him some money and says, hey, where's my money? The man says, oh, I don't have it. Please give me some more time. Says, no. You have kept that debt for so long. No, I need my money. It's now or never. Are you giving it? No, I don't have it. I'm taking it to the police. 999. This man owes me. Ah, blah, 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 blah. And the man is taken into jail. And people are watching this. Things unfolding. They are watching. And they see, okay, this same man that has just been forgiven cannot forgive his fellow brother. Just literally outside the courts of the king. Then they ran back to the king. And they told the king, King, you know the man you've just forgiven, he met his friend out there and who owes him and he's just putting him into jail. So what? And the king sends him to jail as well. And here's what Jesus demonstrates by this parable. This is what he says. Then the master called his servant, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Should you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your hearts. This is how God will treat us. Unless we forgive our brethren from the heart. Do you know that there's forgiveness that we say, I forgive you. I always say this. We all have shelves in our lives. So I can say, I forgive you. And I just take her and pop her on the shelf. But I've not forgiven her. In my heart, I'm still harboring her. She's still there somewhere. He is still there somewhere. He wronged me. She wronged me. I'm still holding on to the offense. I've shoved them on the shelf. As we share this today, I want us to search our hearts, church. It's no point coming in, Sunday out, and still carrying the same baggage. Because, God forbid, should I drop dead outside this church today? And I know that there is somebody that I've heard about forgiveness, but I'm still holding on to the offense that happened with somebody. I don't care when it happened. I could have forgiven them. I could have repented before the Lord. But I chose to carry it because I don't want the deacon to see that it's charity that is asking for forgiveness. I don't want the church, they know me, I come here every Sunday, I've been coming since I was a little girl, and I don't want them to think that if charity is... So she pretends that, no, this is the hospital of those that need deliverance. This is the setting where people that need healing must be found. People that need change must be found. People that are looking for love, unconditional love, genuine love of God should be found. This is the place to be found. If you have got issues with unforgiveness, if you have issues with addiction, if you have issues with sexual immorality, this is the place to be found. Where we can pray with you, one with another, hold each other by the hand, and the Lord will set us free. Remember, the Bible says, for this reason the Son of God was made manifest, that he may destroy all the works of the enemy. We cannot pretend. Enough of pretense, my dear brothers and sisters, because when each one of us go, each one will answer for themselves. I will not answer for Calvary Baptist Church, even though I've been an elder for so many years, or a deacon for so many years. The ministers will not answer for the minister, for the churches they've been leading for so long. They'll answer for them. I'll answer for charity. Charity, I gave you 48 years on earth. How did you live your life? I lived my life. I was preaching, but Lord, I was preaching. But yeah, you were preaching. Yeah, I saw you. I can see you there preaching. I'm thinking, there's a video that has been played in front of me. That's you preaching. I see you there. But how about there? Today, church, I'm begging us. If I have to beg, I'll say I'm begging us. Let us search our hearts. Let us search our minds and see where we stand with God in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Have I forgiven my brother? Am I loving unconditionally? Am I overcoming evil with good? Is this my daily lifestyle? Or am I different? When I'm here, I look yellow. When I'm in the office, I'm green. What am I? What can my neighbors say about me? My neighbors, if they were told that Charity was preaching around the corner, would they freely come to hear? My people that I work with, people that I've lived with, that have known me, families that have known me, if they heard that Charity was conducting a prayer service around the corner, would they come? My character will allow them to come or not. So somebody's sitting there and they're thinking, oh, it's you, the preachers. Yes, James puts it really well, say the teachers will be more answerable than those that sit and listen. But trust me, you also have a role to play. You have your own answers that you have to give unto the Lord on that day. And when he calls you and asks you, how did you live your life? Can you safely stand and say in confidence, I forgave all I could? Can you stand in confidence? Can we all stand in confidence and say we loved the best way we could? I, for one, stand here and I still seek the grace of God to love unconditionally. I still seek the grace of God on a daily basis. And something that I was taking for granted, now I ask of it every single day. Much as I ask every single day for my spiritual eyes to be alert, for my spiritual ears to be alert, I also ask for my spiritual, my heart to be filled with compassion and unconditional love. For the grace of God to be sufficient for me wherever I go and in whatever I do. Church, if you're here today, we're singing this song, Purify My Heart. And this is the fourth hymn of our service. I want us to, as we are singing this song, Purify My Heart, let us sing it as a sincere prayer to the Lord. Father, purify my heart. Take out anything that is not of you in me. And fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Purify my heart. Hymn number 921. Purify my heart. Let us reflect and ask the Lord to purify our hearts this day. have often shared about my journey into Africa for the missions, on a mission trip that I went. And the Lord granted me the grace to witness something significant that we have today here in this church. And that is the shoeboxes. I've experienced them firsthand arriving in trucks into Africa. I have experienced, I have been a part of sharing the shoeboxes and giving them out to the little kids in the villages of Malawi, Africa. I have had the privilege to experience the little kids in the villages opening the shoe boxes and seeing the amazing, the crayons, the different things, doors, sunflower, shoes, it's different things that fit in there. And the joy on their faces. I literally should have sent a few of my pictures for you to project for this, because I do have pictures. And the joy on their faces. And the Bible says something significant about us giving to the poor. In Proverbs chapter number 19 and verse 17. Proverbs 19 and verse number 17 says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. I was talking to Sanja this morning, and I was sharing about my experience in Malawi and receiving these firsthand and giving them out and seeing the children happy. And I said to her, may the Lord bless you for the work you come, Sandra. I said, the Lord bless you for this great work that you're doing. Church, this is no small thing. And today, as I've been asked the privilege to pray and bless these shoeboxes before they head out into wherever they're going. I'm not just talking about Africa. I'm talking about, it can be here in Europe. In Europe, we have various other places. It can be right here in the UK. We can't need. But you have done this. How many years have you done this, Sandra?
10 years.
About 10 years. And I know at Rockingham Road we have a mother who does this. So, okay, you're saying that, say, Charity, you don't know how busy I am. I can't do this. It's fair enough, you are all busy. We all are busy, but you cannot do it. But I'm sure you can send something towards it. I remember Maureen saying £10 was enough. I don't know, how much do you say here?
Oh, about the same, yeah.
Yeah, about £10, isn't it? Yeah. So about £10 will go a long way to a child in need somewhere. So church, we've heard the Bible saying, when we give to the poor, we are lending to the Lord. On your rainy day, you can go back and say, I've come to withdraw. I love that. On a rainy day, I challenge. When on my rainy day, I always say, I'll go back and take back what is there, because I know I've deposited something. Sandra, thank you for your great work. And all the team.
I couldn't do it without them.
Yes. You heard that? She said she couldn't do it without you, church. Church, we are here. And if you hadn't been moved by this, I'll be sending mine along. I will. Seriously, I mean it. And grab the privilege. It is a privilege to help the poor. It is a privilege. I will give something.
And I want us to rise up to our feet as we pray and bless this. Sandra, stand here with me. And I want you to... As we pray for these two boxes and wherever they'll go, and the leadership of the... Paul, please come. Paul, please come. Sandra, please come. Let's come here. And the leadership of the church, please. Yeah? Yeah, Julie. Let's have the leadership of the church come. And let us pray for these shoe boxes and bless them as they go out there. I wanted you to come here where the boxes are. Let's just spread round and just put your hand on anything there. Even not just the boxes, even the ones, the stuff that will go in there. Let's go in and let's put our hands on something. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Heavenly Father, for these shoe boxes. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of having enough to share with others. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that it is a blessing to give. And Father, you have assured us this morning that it is he who gives to the poor is lending to you. Father, we thank you for the blessings that shall follow, but not just about the blessing, Lord. It is about the joy that shall fill those that will receive these shoeboxes. We pray, Heavenly Father, that everything will go well, from packing, Lord, to delivering, Lord, to them finding joy in knowing there's somebody who cares about them, and that somebody is you, our Father, who art in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised us that you are our shepherd, we shall not want. And when they receive these shoeboxes, may they know that there's a shepherd in heaven that cares about them and that they will have no need. May it be a demonstration of your love to them. Thank you that love is a doing word. And through these shoeboxes, we will do that which you have commanded us to do, to love. Father, we pray for strength to continue to do this. Those that have done it for 10 years, for more years, Father, we are praying that they will do more. You give them more grace to do more. We pray all this in the name that is above every name, the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And on that note, church, I hate to close this prayer meeting without asking if there's anybody in our midst that is struggling with unforgiveness. Anybody in our midst that's saying, Charity, you know, when you were talking about that, you were talking about me. I want somebody to rise up to your feet. Don't be shy, because on that day you will answer for yourself. I want people to rise up to their feet. If you know you've been struggling with unforgiveness, if you know in your heart of all hearts you're harboring offense, I want you to rise up to your feet this day. And I want us to pray together and ask the Lord to help us. It took prayer for me. I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it. I'm still crying to the Lord every day. If you're here today, rise up to your feet. Let us pray together. It's nothing to be ashamed of. If you're here today, rise up to your feet. Let us pray together. I beg of you, don't allow yourself to go back the same. With the same burdens that you carried coming in here, don't take them back out. If you're here today, the Lord Jesus Christ is here with us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I shall be in their midst. The Holy Spirit is here with us to minister to us. I kindly ask you to come to the front. Come here. Let's pray together. Let's hold hands together and pray. Those of you that want us to pray, thank you. Come here. Let's pray together. Let's hold hands and let's pray together. Come here. Let's pray together. And if you're sitting there, you feel shy to come out, but you know it is you, you join us in this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus,
I thank you, Heavenly Father, for these souls that have stood out, oh God, and said, I'm done. I can't carry on like this. And Father, we stand here together in unity, in one accord, and we're saying, Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Take away any drop of unforgiveness that is causing us distress physically, mentally, spiritually. That, Father, we have dropped in our desire for you because we can't even pray because we keep harboring that offense, remembering what they said, what they did to us. Lord, we ask that you create in us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. Cleanse us with hyssop, Lord, that we may be whiter than snow. Forgive us for hating them. Forgive us for harboring offense. And Father, help us to love unconditionally. Fill us this day with your compassion, your grace, and Father, your mercies that endureth forever. Most importantly, with your unconditional love, a love that keeps no record of wrongdoing. Grant us more of your fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you for coming here. Praise the Lord. So our last hymn, our closing hymn this morning, In Christ Alone. In Christ Alone is our closing hymn. Let us rise up and sing together.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Shall we have the grace and we say that together? May the grace of God, Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much, church, and thank you for coming. I'm sure we've all learned something. May God bless you. This is the end of our service.
I should have had